Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
I'm excited about these storylines kind of playing out a little bit more, but with teams that are separating themselves, seeing more and more the good teams and how they're learning from the past. A little bit like AI, only this is real people, because AI is not as good as human brains. And the way that the Ravens have surged after starting out 0-2, and the Buccaneers, they're a wild ride, but that's because Baker Mayfield is often a wild ride, but they do find ways to win. They're a lot of fun to watch, too. So that's what's coming up on Monday night. There is no more baseball until we get to Friday night, the start of the World Series, which is also Juan Soto's 26th birthday, if you did not know it. We had a bunch of birthday themes, actually, this weekend. We'll get to some of that this hour. So more on the New York Yankees reaching the World Series for the first time since 2009. So 15 years. This is Aaron Judge's first opportunity in the World Series. First time for a lot of these guys. Not all of them. There are a few that came from other teams that do have some World Series experience, but it's going to be really cool to see these two teams clash, because you've got some great star power between the Dodgers and the Yankees, and two very unconventional routes to get to this point. If you remember, the Yankees had a major swoon in June and lost the division lead in the AL East. And for long stretches, it was nothing but Aaron Judge providing offense. And then kind of a role reversal where the rest of the team really steps up and steps in this postseason until Aaron Judge found a groove himself. Remember that moment when Stephen Vogt walked Juan Soto to get to Aaron Judge with the bases loaded? Uh-huh. That'll tell you. That'll tell you what it was like for a while. And so the Yankees, this is, I know, a storyline that people will want to stick a fork in their eyes, because you're going to get tired of hearing about the Yankees and the Dodgers, maybe. But they haven't met on the World Series stage in a long time. And as much as you can say, this is the complaint, right, that teams try to buy a World Series, there's no guarantees. Just a year ago, the Yankees didn't make the playoffs. The Dodgers were out in the division series the last couple years. So your money can be sunk into a lot of players, but it doesn't guarantee performance. So that argument's kind of blah. It's one of those hot takes that really doesn't stand up under a microscope. And also for New York, the Liberty winning their first ever championship in WNBA history. And so really cool that New York's got a few highlights and positives, because the football teams, and not so much. And we'll get to the Jets again coming up next hour. It did not get better. Footnote, it's not Robert Saleh. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence at Amy After Hours on our Twix is how you can find the most recently posted Monday MVP poll. And as soon as we get to our next break, I'll also throw that up on our Facebook page. Yeah, we've got a trio of running backs because they made a major impact in week number 7 with still Derrick Henry to come on Monday night. But you know what? Derrick Henry has been involved in pretty much every poll we've had over the last couple weeks. So maybe another running back will be able to sneak in there. And then the one quarterback who had the faith of his coach, the wind beneath his wings. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line, 855-212-4227. Let's talk about some teams that have quarterback questions moving forward, though definitely not Joe Burrow and the Bengals. However, to be fair, it was a really rough offensive combo when the Bengals and the Browns got together on Sunday. Cincinnati had, are you ready for this? A grand total of 86 yards. Not passing yards, not rushing yards, total yards at halftime. The only points on the board for the Bengals at the break did not come from the offense at all.
Here comes Hopkins. He swings the leg and thwack. We are underway. Charlie Jones catches right at the goal line and runs it out. Far side numerals for the 20, 25, 30. Nice. Only the kicker can tackle him. He failed to do it. Charlie Jones down the sideline. Ooh. 20, 10, 5. Oh, dive for the pylon. Touchdown!
How about it?
Or did he step out first?
No, it's a touchdown!
Charlie Jones, who had a punt return touchdown as a rookie last year against Baltimore, takes it 100 yards for a game-opening score.
Well, that's a highlight. Dan Horton, Dave Lapham on Bengals Radio. 100 yards, a kickoff return for a touchdown. Otherwise, the Bengals were 0 for 7 on third and fourth down. And this was another one of those halves in which they start slow. But also, if you remember, Joe Burrow has struggled in Cleveland over the course of his career. The Bengals had dropped 6 in a row, actually, in Cleveland. So under Joe Burrow and with Zach Taylor, they've not performed well on the shores of Lake Erie. But if you think you've got problems, Cincinnati Bengals, well, it's far worse for the Cleveland Browns, especially now.
Ball in the 21, second and 5. Deshaun stumbles. Deshaun gets up. Ball comes out. Deshaun writhing in pain as well.
That was a non-contact. That looked like it looked almost like Achilles or a knee just gave out on him completely.
And Deshaun is down.
The Cleveland quarterback gave himself up and was down before the ball became loose. There was a timeout on the field for an injured player.
Deshaun is down to the 23-yard line. Helmet in the turf, and DTR is warming up.
That's Dorian Thompson Robinson, who does come in right away. This is about 90 seconds left in the first half. That's the call with Andrew Siciliano on Browns Radio. It was a non-contact right away. Doctors who know these sorts of things could point out that it was a ruptured Achilles. And there was cheering in the stadium. Now, you can't necessarily hear it on that call, but the players heard it, and the players were upset by it. Multiple Browns in the locker room after this game chastising fans for cheering as Deshaun Watson was laying there on the turf in pain. So we'll get back to that. But DTR came in at quarterback. He finished that drive late in the half, and get this, Nick Chubb, able to get into the end zone in his first game on the field after his devastating leg injuries in week 2 of last year. He'd been working toward this. We'd heard from Mary Kay Cabot of Cleveland.com last week that he looked good. He looked healthy, looked like he had some explosiveness, and he was able to return, not in a way that you would say, I don't know, we rewrote his script or added a chapter to his resume, but the fact that he was able to get out there after the injuries that he went through, and then think about the offensive line and the fact that they want to be careful with him. So he gets 11 carries for 22 yards and a touchdown. And I was just happy to see Nick Chubb back on the field. It's after hours with Amy Lawrence. All right, so after halftime, the Bengals seemingly found their stride. They have a pair of quick touchdown drives in the third quarter, and Burrow just seemed to have a better rhythm. He was able to connect with his favorite guys, right? You've got Ja'Marr Chase and then also T. Higgins, both of them with touchdown catches, and the Cincinnati defense picks off Dorian Thompson-Robinson twice. Ultimately, Jameis Winston ends up on the field for Cleveland. And I'm not exactly sure when he got replaced as QB2, but he was the one who finished out the game. He did have an 8-yard touchdown toss to David Njoku, but Cincinnati recovers the onside kick and slams that door. So the Bengals now move to 3-4, while the Browns fall to 1-6. And I think at this point, it's about the Bengals putting their heads down and doing whatever they possibly can to make up ground in the AFC.
We found ways to win. You know, I don't really, everybody's talking about how good our offense was for the first 4 weeks, whatever it was, and we were 1-3. So that's obviously not ideal. I'd rather be everyone talking about how we didn't execute it on offense and win two games in a row than the other way around.
That's kind of what the Chiefs have done, right? The Chiefs have had all kinds of holes and miscues by the offense, and yet they are still undefeated. And that's how Joe Burrow sees it. I'd rather have people raving about us being able to win despite the fact that we aren't playing at our best than the other way around. And this is maybe one of those games where you just find a way to win. He goes 15 of 25, 181 yards, couple of touchdowns in there, and a turnover-free game for the Cincinnati Bengals on their offense. And they are able to get that 100-yard kickoff return right off the top. As for the Browns, yeah, this has gone from bad to worse for their offense. Whether or not you think Deshaun Watson is good at what he does, or his time has passed, or the money that the Browns sunk into him, $230 million guaranteed, is a waste and they should have buyer's remorse, all of those things may be true. But he's still the quarterback of the team and the best way for them to try to win. Now, the offensive line is woeful. I'm not saying he's good, but he's still the best quarterback they have on their roster, which I guess is saying something. And for Kevin Stefanski to lose not just one, but two quarterbacks on this day, just it just seems like when it rains, it pours.
Okay, injury front, Deshaun has an Achilles injury. We'll get testing on that. Dorian has a finger injury. I'll have more updates on that. You know, you come here to try to get a win versus a division opponent and fall short and really disappointed that we can't. We have to eliminate some bad football that's holding us back.
That's definitely the case. There has been some bad football, and it's bad on a lot of fronts. But what guys wanted to talk about in the locker room afterwards, how fans celebrated, not all fans, some fans there in Cleveland, celebrated Deshaun Watson getting hurt by cheering when he was laying on the turf.
We don't boo. We don't boo the guys that are injured on the field, especially, you know, with the extent where the card comes out. You know, that's, we should be ashamed of ourselves, you know, as Browns, and as fans, to boo anyone and their downfall to be season-altering, career-altering injury. Man, it's not perfect. He doesn't need to be. None of us are expected to be perfect. Can't judge him for what he does, you know, off the field or on the field, because I can't throw stones from my glass house. But we need to do better. We need to do better on the football field, and we need to do better as fans.
I am very upset with the reaction to a man that has had the world against him for the past 4 years, and he put his body and life on the line for this city every single day, regardless of your perception, regardless of what you thought should happen with him. He committed every single day that I've been here to be the best that he can be for this team. But the way I was raised, I will never pull on a man when he's down. But I will be the person to lift him up. I tell myself every morning, what I want for myself, I want for everyone. And I do not want the treatment that Deshaun Watson has received from these passionate fans. I know you love this game, but Deshaun was treated badly.
Jameis Winston gets emotional there. And I know every now and then when he gets on his soapbox, it could come across as fairly melodramatic. But the appeal and really the chastisement from both Myles Garrett and Jameis Winston is about, that's not who we are. And for Myles Garrett, that's not what we do here. I loved that from Myles. Let's have a higher standard. Let's be better than that. Regardless of what's happening on the field, regardless of whether you can't stand the dude, even when he sucks, we don't boo when a person is down, or and cheering is really what was happening. But to cheer when a cart comes out because you're happy the quarterback got hurt, that's crappy. I mean, I understand Cleveland. I wouldn't want him as my quarterback for a lot of reasons. The guaranteed money, the fact that the Browns had to sell out to get him, the fact that he wasn't interested until all that money was on the table. Of course, all the accusations of sexual assault, of sexual misconduct. And yes, I know most of those lawsuits got settled, but the accusations are still there, and he served an 11-game suspension. Not to mention, he is not even remotely the same quarterback that he was when he's a pro bowler in Houston. Too much time off, too many injuries. Yes, it's been a disaster since they brought him on board. All of that I get. I wouldn't want him as my quarterback either. But to cheer when a guy goes down in a really painful injury, that is crappy. And I appreciate that Myles Garrett wants Browns fans to hold themselves to a higher standard. You're better than that. We're better than that. You want to have a winning culture? You want to break through and be a contender? And the Browns have knocked down that door a few times the last couple years. Credit the coaching of Kevin Stefanski and his staff, some of the leadership they've had in the locker room, like Myles Garrett. I know they've had some really sucky injuries, but even last year, able to make the playoffs despite all of that, despite using five different quarterbacks. No, it's not great. It's not optimal. It feels like a lost season. But even if all of it's on Deshaun Watson, which it's not, as fans, as people, as humans, what they're saying is be better than that. We don't want to be like that in Cleveland. It's not what we do. Some other quarterback injuries on Sunday, like Jaden Daniels, Tyler Huntley, Aiden O'Connell. So a bunch of different guys getting spelled by backups. Anthony Richardson was on the field, so no Joe Flacco in week 7. And the Colts were vying for a win. Man, I'm telling you, especially early in the season, but really anytime, who cares if it's aesthetically pleasing with all of the injuries that take place, with how topsy-turvy the NFL, you just take those wins and you run like the wind. You can vote for Monday MVP. The poll is up at Amy After Hours. Also on our Facebook page. Glad to have you with us. Thanks so much for hanging out. 855-212-4227. If you are waking up, you're groggy and froggy on your Monday morning, oh, don't worry. We got you. It's After Hours here on the Infinity Sports Network.
39 at the 25-yard line. Sanders to the left of Dalton. Free rusher coming off the edge. Throws oh!
Picked off. Pinky Lumo. One man to me. He does. Streaking down the sideline. 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown. Touchdown, Washington. back again!
No huddle, second to three at the eight. Back to B-Rob, right up the middle. Takes on two commits.
Two Panthers dive for the goal line. Touchdown! Touchdown, Washington! Brian Robinson has done it again!
B-Rob right, B-Rob left, B-Rob right up the middle of the Carolina Panthers defense. That's what we want to see.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The calls on the Commanders radio network, Bram Weinstein, as Washington makes quick work of Carolina in this game taking place near the nation's capital. On the very first Panthers drive, Andy Dalton throws a pick six. Dexter Fowler goes 67 yards with it to the house. And honestly, that was all the Commanders would need. On the very first Washington snap, we are reminded yet again why Jaden Daniels is so special. A 46-yard run that sparks the offense, except on that first series, he also took a shot to the ribs. And before the first quarter is over, it's clear he's in a lot of pain and can't continue. So he doesn't make it through that first quarter. All we know is that it's a rib injury. Dan Quinn didn't have a whole lot more information.
I cannot give you an update on Jaden, but I will just as soon as we find out. We'll do some further tests tomorrow, John. And then when we get together in the afternoon, we'll give you an update. But I don't have anything for everybody else asking the same thing, same answer. So just wanted to make sure I was super clear on that.
Yeah, John, Amy, Joe, Judy, Jacqueline, Justin, everybody asking the same question about Jaden. If you saw the sequence in which he was pulled from the game, unable to throw the ball, really in a lot of pain, he starts to walk to the locker room with the athletic training staff and he slams his helmet down as he's headed out. Lots of frustration for him, and I appreciate that. I hope it's not an injury that keeps him out for a long time, but I do appreciate how badly he wants to play and how much he's willing to go out there even if it means playing in pain. But in this particular case, this is the right move for the Commanders. And in a game in which they would have it well in hand, even if it's not Jaden Daniels out there on the field, a smart move by Dan Quinn and the athletic training staff. So it's Marcus Mariota to the rescue. The rest of the way, six scoring drives led by the veteran QB. Remember, he used to be a highly touted prospect himself, also a former number two overall pick in the NFL draft. 18 of 23, 205 yards, and a couple of touchdowns. And they got more than enough.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Enough offense between the run game, between Marcus with the game management. They had 214 yards rushing, so not a whole lot of heavy lifting for Mariota, but he didn't turn the ball over. That's the biggest deal, right? And they were able to get the win and move to 5-2.
We have an unbelievable group of players that we talk about all the time. We have a brotherhood here, and it's very unique, something that is very different from other teams that I've been on. And just that kind of belief in each other really settled me down. And from there, I just went out there and played.
So Mariota may end up having to start again, but I really do appreciate those teams that have a veteran presence at quarterback, in their quarterback room, meaning guys that maybe weren't expecting to play but are ready if called on and are willing to help younger guys be ready. So in Andy Dalton, who's now been starting for several weeks in place of Bryce Young, though he was out there late in the game, and you wonder if the Panthers might consider going back to their second-year QB, Marcus Mariota steps in for Jaden Daniels. We've talked about Joe Flacco with Anthony Richardson being on the shelf. Of course, he was back this week. And that was another game that featured quarterback injuries, though not for the Colts. Again, so Anthony Richardson, he's a little rusty. You could see that with him when he got back on the field with the Indianapolis Colts as they were hosting the Dolphins. And there was only a single touchdown drive in the first half. This one courtesy of Tyler Huntley to Jonnu Smith. So neat to see Jonnu making a difference and yet a couple of smart catches. So middle of the third quarter, We see Richardson settle in a little more. He leads a scoring drive after Raheem Mostert coughs up the football. So welcome back, Raheem. And for Richardson to be able to find the end zone in his first game back, I think is critical for this guy who's had so many stops and starts in the first couple years of his career.
Richardson out of the gun, ball in the far hash. Two receivers go to the left, one goes to the right. Richardson, right up the middle, touchdown! The Red Sea parted, and it's Tyler Goodson right up the gut from 7 yards away. Touchdown, INDY. It's 10-9 on the Ruoff Mortgage scoreboard.
The call's there with Matt Taylor on Colts radio. They also tack on a pair of field goals in the fourth quarter. They get a fourth down stop. Though by that time, even though this was only a one-possession game, so those are critical, the field goals as well as the fourth down stop in which they forced an incompletion by Tim Boyle, at that point, it's no longer Huntley. Now it's Boyle. And so they lost Tua. Then they lost Skylar Thompson. Then Tyler Huntley goes out with a shoulder injury, and Miami is left to Tim Boyle. And no knock on Tim. Good for him. He's got a job in the NFL that pays him. But this is not what the Dolphins plan for this season. I mentioned it earlier on the show. They're averaging 12 points per game, and this one only 10. 12 points per game. They have a stable of offensive weapons, but they've got no one who can consistently deliver the football. And whatever rhythm they found with Tyler Huntley, now that's gone, unless he can get back on the field quickly. So good for the Colts. They move to 4-3, over 150 yards rushing. But for Mike McDaniel, I mean, they get nearly 200 yards on the ground. But Tyreek Hill, he's almost non-existent. Again, there's no one to deliver him the football downfield with that accuracy and that aggressive approach that they built around Tua. And McDaniel's going to have to keep answering questions about his quarterback and whether or not he'll be back this season.
Tonight, when we're talking about a game that people played in, I think it's talking about guys on IR, I don't think is appropriate. Doesn't hit me right, so I'll be more than happy to address that tomorrow. But tonight, I'll try to keep it about guys tonight.
Yeah, it's tough for Mike McDaniel. This is not at all what they expected this season. But the fact that they're still out there, they're working as much as they can. They're 2-4. I mean, it could be worse. There are actually teams in the AFC that are worse. But if you're left with Tim Boyle, and that's what you've got the rest of the way, be prepared for Tyreek Hill to have one catch for 8 yards. Jaylen Waddle, one pass for 11 yards. This is the NFL's lowest scoring team. A year ago, they were averaging nearly 30 points per game, and Tua was the most prolific passer of the 23 season. It's tough. Not that anyone's going to feel sorry for the Colts. I think people would feel sorry for Tua, not so much the Colts. He is eligible to return to practice. If not this week, it's next week. But he's been on IR. So if they believe that he's close or that he's meeting the required benchmarks and he's not planning on walking away, then I can see him getting back on the practice field. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Of course, they're going to be really cautious with him, as they should. Just one more game that had to do with QB injuries, or at least it was a story. It was a victory for the Rams. They hold off the Raiders 20-15. And this despite no touchdowns in the second half. But 100-plus yards rushing. Once again, Kyren Williams with a pair of touchdowns. There was some talk that Cooper Kupp might return for this game, but he didn't. He was ultimately held out. And so you're talking about Matthew Stafford trying to make it work as best as he can with Tyler Johnson and Tutu Atwell. What really helps is when you have Gardner Minshew throwing three interceptions. Minshew replacing Aiden O'Connell. Remember, Minshew got benched by Antonio Pierce. But Minshew replaces Aiden O'Connell, who, according to reports, suffered a broken thumb, which means you're going to have to ride with Gardner Minshew unless you're prepared to go in a completely different direction. But yeah, this was rough because the Raiders could not take care of the football. Ultimately, four turnovers, one fumble that was returned for a touchdown, And in a 5-point game, you just can't manage those kinds of mistakes.
No, that's on me, man. That's unacceptable to have that many turnovers. I got to be smarter with the ball. To have a game where we lose by 5 points and have 4 turnovers, like, that's critical. And it's not fair to the rest of the team. So I'm going to go back, look at the film. I'm not going to sulk, not going to pout. But whatever we got to do to fix it, I'm going to do it.
Got to take care of the ball, you know. I mean, was it interceptions, 3 interceptions, and sack fumble? You know, just the football's the most important thing. Got to take care of it. Got to be smart with the ball. At the end, you know, you try to make a shot, get that one. The other ones, you know, just got, you know, got to do a better job taking care of the ball.
Antonio Pierce, as you can imagine, he's been through the ringer this season, and we'll see what happens moving forward. If he's stuck, that's maybe unfair. Gardner Minshew doesn't play like this all the time, but this is what he is. He's always a potential interception away from your game going completely upside down. So, yeah, Dolphins dealing with quarterback challenges. The Browns now have to figure out what to do moving forward at quarterback. Mention the Raiders, that's 3 AFC teams right there. If Anthony Richardson could stay healthy, well, that's at least an answer for the Colts. But also Washington. And that, I think, is the most critical for the Commanders, considering they've been playing so well and right now have the lead in the NFC East. So we'll wait to hear more on Monday. But definitely one of the storylines of this week 7 is the major QB injuries, and not just to QBs, but those are the ones that grab the headlines. Brandon Ayuk, according to Kyle Shanahan, feared to have a torn ACL. Also waiting to hear about that on Monday. At A-Law Radio, that's where you can find our Monday MVP poll. And I did also throw it up on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Here's our latest sports update, and here's Peter Schwartz.
Infinity Sports Network Sports Flash.
This report sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your home and auto. Save when you bundle. Get a quote at Progressive.com. We lead off in Los Angeles as the Dodgers look to punch their ticket to the World Series.
Right-handed Alvarez is ready. So is Blake Treinen. McNeil goes for second. Alvarez swings. A bouncer to second. Taylor has it in the glove. It's over! It's over! The Dodgers win the pennant!
Steven Nelson on Dodgers Radio. The Dodgers are National League champions. After a 10-5 win over the Mets in Game 6, they win the series 4-2, and they advance to meet the Yankees in the World Series starting Friday night at Dodgers Stadium. Tommy Edman, 2-for-5 with 4 RBI, including a 2-run homer, and he was named the NLCS MVP. Now to Sunday Night Football in Pittsburgh.
Tightly bunched formation. Wilson under center. Broken eye to the right. Gets the snap. Gives to Najee Harris. Hurdles a man. And Najee Harris scampers into the end zone. Touchdown, Pittsburgh Steelers. 10-yard run. Najee Harris jumps into the stands. Here comes a couple linemen to join him. Oh, the crowd loving it.
Rob King on Steelers Radio. Steelers over the Jets 37-15. Russell Wilson threw for 264 yards, 2 touchdowns. Najee Harris rushing for 102 yards and a score. Elsewhere, Chiefs over the Niners 28-18. Commanders 40, Panthers 7. Rams over the Raiders 20-15. Eagles 28, Giants 3. Lions beat the Vikings 31-29. Colts 16, Dolphins 10. The Packers over the Texans 24-22. Bengals 21, Browns 14. The Bills over the Titans 34-10. Seahawks 34, Falcons 24, and the Jaguars beat the Patriots 32-16. WNBA Finals, the New York Liberty win the first championship in franchise history. They beat the Minnesota Lynx in Game 5 in overtime 67-62. Jonquel Jones was named WNBA Finals MVP. NHL wins for the Kings, Avalanche, and Jets. I'm Peter Schwartz.
This is the Infinity Sports Network. Follow us on Instagram. Our handle is Infinity Sports Network. That's Infinity Sports Network to follow us on Instagram.
Second and 10 from the 12. Play clock down to 5. Allen in the shotgun takes the snap. Blitz coming. Fires over the middle for Amari Super Cooper for a 12-yard touchdown reception. 2 to the left, 1 to the right, and Shakir in motion left to right. Now it's an orbit motion. Flares out to the right side. Allen back to pass. Has time. Looks underneath. Complete to Ty Johnson for a four-yard touchdown reception. Josh Allen went to the check down, and Johnson rewarded him. Falls into the end zone for the second passing touchdown by Allen this afternoon. Second and 10. And the Bills on the Titans 15-yard line. Ray Davis into the game. He's going to get the handoff. Cuts it inside. Spins out of a tackle. Down to the 10, to the 5. Has Hollins in front of him. And into the end zone. Ray, the pile driver, Davis, into the end zone for a 15-yard touchdown run. They can't bring him down ever.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Chris Brown on the Bills Radio Network. Would you believe it was a tough start for Buffalo? I know, you've heard that before this season, but a trio of three and outs. They go three and out three times in a row. Meanwhile, it's Mason Rudolph who's actually out there in place of Will Levis, another one of those veteran quarterbacks making a start. He guides a pair of Titan scoring drives and has a TD pass in there. So they're up 10-0 in this game. Yeah, similar to the way the Patriots started out in London against the Jaguars, also up 10-0 before Jacksonville found its footing. Well, Josh Allen, he eventually came around, as did the offense. And here was the turning point, the spark. A deep shot to rookie Keon Coleman. It was a 44-yarder that seemed to light the fire under the Buffalo offense. And from that point on, James Cook caps the drive with an 11-yard touchdown run in traffic, and they go on a run of their own. 34 unanswered points from down 10-0 to a 34-10 win. And Josh ends up with a couple TDs, 323 yards passing, and welcome to Amari Cooper. Think about Amari's emotions and what is versus what could have been. He gets traded days before the Browns quarterback tears his Achilles, likely. He's on his way to Buffalo, even as the Browns are likely to start divesting themselves of pieces if they can, but they're really stuck because of that QB contract, at least for another year. There's talk that Deshaun may have played his last game for the Browns. You could imagine that the Browns won't be able to get what they want for any pieces they might have on a trade market, considering that the rest of the league can see exactly what's happening. And Amari Cooper got out just in time. He's able to catch four passes for 66 yards and his first touchdown in a Buffalo uni.
I've played for a couple different teams that have done it, including, you know, Alabama collegiately. It seems like a different feel every single time. It seems like a different Coop chant every single time. Just grateful, appreciative. It was something special about the one today.
So I apologize, my mistake, not just about scoring the touchdown, but about hearing the crowd give his classic cheer of Coop. And he got to hear it from Buffalo and said it sounds a little bit different in this regard because of everything that he's been through and really the emotional roller coaster ride. So the Bills are able to recover and they move to 5-2 now, maintaining that stranglehold atop the AFC East, the only team in the AFC East that is above 500. And that also applies in the NFC West. Weird, right? Where we expected to have more competition than this, but the West has just one team above 500 as well. So the Bills, they're in good shape. Mentioned the Patriots starting out the day against the Jaguars in London, who had remained in London since last week's game. And there had been some talk, maybe a bit snarky, but there had been some talk that Doug Peterson might not be on the team plane home if the Jaguars were to fall to 1-6 and lose this game against New England. But yeah, the Patriots get off to a hot start. And so far, so good with Drake May. He's shown the ability to deliver the passes on the money. Not every time, sometimes, but he's picking it up as he goes along. Still major issues for the Patriots in terms of how they run the game or run the ball and how they perform behind the offensive line. But they start out with a 10-0 lead as well until Jacksonville is able to find its spark. Not that different than what we got from the Bills against the Titans. Almost like there was a wake-up call in there. So, yeah, once Jacksonville, and actually this is, to me, a major turning point. Once Jacksonville takes a kickoff after the Patriots go up 10-0, and they're able to put that return 30 yards up the field. All right, so that, to me, was a big deal. Giving them some breathing room. They're not backed up too far. Parker Washington goes 27 yards with it. And that felt like kind of a shove. Out of the starting blocks, let's go. Better late than never. And at that point, Jacksonville was able to pile on.
Right footer swings through it, and Bryce Behringer hits a boomer, and Parker Washington back to the 4. Between the hash marks, 10, 15 to the 20, has space to the 30, to the 40, left numbers, beats the punter, he's at the 40, down the left sideline, 30, he's got to go! It's a touchdown, Jaguars! Parker Washington falls backward across the goal line, and the Jaguars have a 96-yard punt return score! 1:34 to play until halftime. It's Jaguars 20, Patriots 10. What a play.
JP Shadrick on Westwood 1. And yeah, 22-point second quarter is really all that the Jaguars would need. Moving forward, they're able to have their way. They desperately needed this win. And Tank Bigsby gets a ton of credit. 26 carries, 118 yards. He's able to get into the end zone twice. Brian Thomas also had a 58-yard run in this one. So once they woke up, it felt like the pieces, the weapons that they have, were all working in the same direction.
Special night just for the team, getting us back on track. Got to keep going, though. You know, it don't stop here. We got to go back to the United States and continue to do what we do and handle business, go 1-0.
I thought we did a nice job of offensively of keeping those possessions really long. I think we had some, I mean, I don't know what the stats were, but it felt like we had some really long possessions that chewed up a lot of clock, and we can do better on scoring on all those possessions. I know that one turnover on downs down there and, you know, inside the 15 or whatever it was disappointing to us, but, you know, I thought we did a nice job of using the clock. We ran the ball great today, so that always helps.
That's Trevor Lawrence. Before that, Parker Washington. Gerard Mayo with strong words for the Patriots.
Disappointing game. We came out, we started fast. What I would say is, look, we're a soft football team across the board. We talk about what makes a tough football team. That's being able to run the ball, that's being able to stop the run, and that's being able to cover kicks, and we did none of those today. They controlled the ball for most of the day. You know, their run game averaged over 4.5 yards a carry. Our run game, not sure what the average was, but it wasn't good.
Gerard Mayo said they would get back to the drawing board. They'd continue to work. Maybe Drake May the highlight, but otherwise calling his Patriots soft as they fall to 1-6 on the season as well. But yeah, in that AFC East, the Bills are sitting pretty. The offense isn't always pretty, but they are fighting and scratching and clawing, and they've built themselves a nice lead. All right, coming up, it was a wild day for New York sports fans, including the return of Saquon Barkley. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.